Tom, I want to just get this out of the way because I don't want to be spending, you know, every day talking about David Johnston necessarily.
Right.
But the clip I want to play you is one of Justin Trudeau today. If you expected him to blink based on what the opposition is calling for, I don't think so. Take a listen to this.
The leaders of both the Conservatives and the Bloc Québécois have refused to let facts get in the way of the political arguments and personal attacks that they're making. They have refused to get security briefings on the actual facts surrounding the intelligence and the question of foreign interference because they want to continue to smear a man of unimpeachable integrity and deep commitment and service to Canada.
That is the same message he has been delivering ever since this became an issue, Tom. He's not backing down. So I'm going to ask again, what happens here?
Well, the short answer is we're going to an election the day that the NDP finally decides that it doesn't have confidence in Justin Trudeau. And frankly, there's no reason to have confidence in Justin Trudeau when you listen to what he just said. Because he said the other two parties, the Bloc and the Conservatives, are refusing to see the true facts. Unfortunately for Mr. Trudeau's thesis, there's no way for him to make that affirmation credibly. Because the basic problem with what David Johnston did is he never put people under oath. There was never any cross-examination. He just took, at face value, what was sent to him by a bunch of people who worked for Justin Trudeau, whether it's political staff like Katie Telford, whether it's the higher-ups in some of the government agencies. They all work for him. And so this is why it's not credible what Mr. Trudeau just said. He's also doing a classic thing that we've seen Trudeau do before. He hides behind Stephen Guilbeau, who was once a very credible and respected environmentalist, and yet he approves massive petroleum projects like the offshore oil project in a very sensitive biodiversity rich area off the coast of Newfoundland in a pristine marine environment. And so this is the type of thing that Trudeau does. He finds people with expertise and experience and credibility. He pushes them forward and saying, how dare you attack him? Well, no, actually, Mr. Trudeau, you're the prime minister. You're the one who's put together this con job where you asked somebody to look at an empty cereal box and tell you whether or not they found anything in there that was of interest to the Canadian voting public. And as far as his argument that, you know, this is just flim-flam, this is just a couple of opposition parties, that shows a total lack of respect for Parliament, as does Mr. Johnston, because a clear and convincing majority of the duly elected members of Parliament have said, you've got to step aside. This whole thing involves the Trudeau Foundation. You're too close to the Trudeau family, and you were at the Trudeau Foundation the day before you were named to this thing. So you've got to back down. Your report doesn't have that much credibility because you took Trudeau's employees' word for this, but there was no serious process. You made no effort. Oh, and by the way, the lawyer who was sitting beside you, longtime donor to the Liberal Party of Canada.
Okay,
so all those reasons, this thing doesn't make any sense.
Okay.
It doesn't hold water.
I get it, but I will ask the question. She brought Jagmeet Singh right at the beginning. What does he do here? He's kind of between a rock and a hard place here. You've mentioned in the past they don't want to go to an election. Trudeau is not going to change his mind on David Johnston, so he's proroguing Parliament. That's the next step. You still believe that's what's going to happen?
I think it's probably his next play because this is not going to go away during the summer. And the last thing Trudeau wants is a bunch of parliamentary committees convening his senior staffers. And we had Jody Thomas, for example. She's my favorite since Sacha Trudeau. She gets in front of this commission. She goes, oh, I knew about it because I was the deputy minister of defense. So I had the information on Aaron O'Toole. Yes, we knew about that. But so did other deputy ministers. And yeah, the then head of security who was there before me. Yeah, they had. And it's no single person's fault, but the information was never given. And this is the absolutely absurd situation that they're trying to defend, and it's absolutely indefensible.
Okay. Hmm.
I was wondering, I'd like to get your thoughts on Poilievre's tactics lately have taken,
yes.
I mean, they've always been awful, but they seem to have just gotten even a little bit worse if you follow him on social media.
I'm not going to give you a big argument on this.
Right. So the video of the homeless encampment in Kelowna that he's blaming on him, he's blaming drug overdoses, shootings, he's blaming everything on Trudeau. And I have mixed feelings about it, Tom, because on the one hand, I think, you know, it's this ugly, ugly, mean rhetoric that gets us nowhere. But on the other hand, I think it continues to move people away from Poilievre. What are your thoughts on this?
He clearly has information otherwise. And remember we talked about this yesterday. Where's the big place that the Conservatives right now have zero seats? They have zero of the 49 seats, I think it is, in the Greater Toronto Area. And that, if that remains zero, he has zero chance of forming a government. So we always tend to think that new arrivals in Canada, you know, there is a very strong tendency in some communities to back the Liberals. But at the same time, there are a lot of other cultural communities, and if you've worked with them for long enough, you'll know which ones, who have very conservative family personal views. And they're not thrilled about the legalization of marijuana. They're not thrilled about what's going on in society. They're certainly concerned about crime. So Poiliev, believe me, this guy is working from deep focus groups, tons of polling information, and he knows that a lot of Canadians are worried about the things he's talking about. Where I completely agree with you is he has this unbelievably off-putting way of talking and smarmy and talking down to people and, you know nothing and I'm the guy in charge. If he brings that to an election, he's going to get thumped. Trudeau will just, you know, hand him his rear end. There's no chance for him to win an election, especially here in Quebec, because if you think it's off-putting in English, for some reason it translates hyper badly. He's got almost fluent French in terms of his terminology, but his way of putting everything together, like people just want to jump out a window when they hear this guy open his mouth. That's why his numbers are in the single digits here in Quebec.
Okay, so we've covered Pierre Poilievre. We've covered the NDP. I think we've taken care of federal politics well.
3-1-1.
Let's go back to this. We talked about it yesterday. We had the mayor on earlier on, and to be honest,
I heard it.
To be honest, she sounds like, you know, I wish there was something I could have done. We can look at amending this or adapting it, I guess, as we move forward. But my hands were kind of tied.
Well, remember we talked also about the fact that there have always been two schools of thought: the zealots, the people who want to come up with the worst possible rules under Bill 101, including everything that we got in Bill 96, and the people who are more rational and say, you know, we've always gotten along well in this place. We get along well with our neighbors, no matter what language we speak, no matter what religion they are. And so Legault has been dividing and dividing and dividing since he got there, dividing on religious basis, dividing now on language. And the city of Montreal is essentially saying, look, I've got no choice whatsoever. This is the provincial law, but how you enforce or apply a law depends completely on you.
Okay.
And the city of Montreal, by the way, if you go back to 311, unless I missed my guess, because maybe I just got lucky and got a different tape before, but I have a feeling they're already pretty embarrassed by what they put online yesterday. So I have a feeling that they're already starting to change it because you get switched around and you get asked about which borough and whatnot. Look, it's wrong to say that this is completely required by Bill 96. The way it's interpreted, the way it's put in force, that is in the hands of Valerie Plante and her administration and the city of Montreal. So she's gone way overboard. She's hired her own language, Tsarina, after having had Louise Zarel in there. She is going above and beyond the call of duty. And then she comes on the show and she is really smart. And I actually find her incredibly engaging and one of the best politicians of her generation. But stop trying to con us into believing that you've done everything that you can to be reasonable and provide services to the population, because that's not true. And by the way, the clip that was played on the news of Eric Girard saying it's not true that in health and social services, that services in English will be throttled back, it is true. Eric Girard has been briefed on this in detail. He knows that the number one problem is that big hospitals on the English side will no longer be able to require a knowledge of English because they've made that near impossible, and it's going to be a battle every step of the way. And yes, it will have an effect on availability of services in English. Girard has no excuse for making the statement he just made, Natasha and Aaron, simply because I do know that he's been briefed on this in detail and he knows better.
Okay, we don't have time to sort of belabor this, but the understanding, he goes out of his way, as does every other minister when asked about this, including Jean-François Robert, Tom, to say that it will have absolutely, they use that word, absolutely no effect as far as providing health care.
That is absolutely false.
Now, I'm thinking when someone walks in and asks for that health care, if they get service in English, to them that means everything is copacetic.
Exactly. You've understood exactly the word game that they're playing. They're saying, well, no, you're still going to be able. But first of all, with regard to any government form that would be concomitant with getting that direct access in the hospital, you've got everything else that's backing this thing up and says, if you've been here for for more than 6 months, everything in French from now on, even if you're somebody who came in from New Zealand 10 months ago, you're going to be told to fill everything out in English. That's the one thing. But with regard to the hiring, in a big, think of a big hospital like the Jewish General, or think of, you know, the Glenn of the McGill Hospital, all of a sudden, it's going to be very difficult because the requirements to justify every hiring of somebody with a knowledge of English have completely changed. I don't think Roberge knows that.
Okay.
I know that our finance minister, who's supposed to be the interlocutor of the English-speaking community, I know that he knows that.
Hmm.
And yet he keeps repeating something that he knows not to be the case. And I find that unfortunate coming from someone with Gerard's class and credibility, because he continues to push a party line that he knows is not true.